If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we encourage you to turn with us to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 14. We've been here for a couple of services and I cannot leave. The Lord showed me some things while I was on vacation, just resting my brain, and God just showed up and began to show me some things out of 1 Thessalonians, and I can't get past just this one verse. I'm just stuck right here and it's just going to have to be okay. If you'll stand to your feet. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Father, would you touch us this morning and help us, Lord, as we look into this verse, Father, in the portion of thy word, that God, you'd be pleased to speak to hearts today. And God, would you help us, Lord, to preach in the power and in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit? God, you didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And God, I pray this morning, Father, that you would touch us and you would help us, Lord, to declare with boldness the truths of the Word of God. And help us today, God, that there might be people today that would be encouraged and helped from your precious Word. Lord, you're using this people to do a great work. And I pray today, God, that that work would continue by the presence of our Savior. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. We ask for your help, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The Bible says, now we exhort you, brethren. I want to preach on this thought today. Exhort the brethren. That phrase, to exhort, it means to encourage. But it's the weakest form of encouragement. It goes further than that. It means that, that we are to fill you with a strong urging. We are to incite you to do that which is right. We are incite you to continue serving and walking with the Lord. Now we exhort you, brethren. The word brethren, it means born from the same womb. I have an announcement. See if I can get amen. I was born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, if you're saved, we are brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been born again by the blood. We've been born by the same womb. Now, this thought, brethren, this thought, exhorting the brethren, it's all over the New Testament. It's all over the Gospels. It's all over the Pauline epistles. But I want to go back to a portion of Scripture that is seldom used. A lot of times we read out of the book of Judges chapter 7. Let's go there. I want to look in Judges chapter number 7. I've been helping to teach Sunday school for a number of weeks. And God began to have me preaching and teaching out of Judges. And in fact, I was getting ready to teach out of this lesson. And about last week or whenever it was. And the Lord wanted me to move away from it and save it for today. And in the book of Judges chapter 7, you meet a man by the name of Gideon. He's got 32,000 soldiers getting ready to go fight over 100,000 soldiers from Midian. And he's desperately, vastly outnumbered. And God comes to Gideon and says, Gideon, you got too many with you. I do. I'm outnumbered 5-1. Yes, you got too many with you. Stand up there and tell them those that are afraid, they can go home. And so Gideon thinks, these are valiant warriors. There's none of these men afraid. But he said, I have an announcement. All of you that are afraid, you can go home. You're released from your responsibility of duty. And 22,000 men left. Two-thirds of his men left, leaving him with 10,000 men to go fight a battle. Now he's outnumbered 15-1. And in the day in which we live, there's COVID. People are afraid, and right now people, they're watching online, hopefully they're watching online, and people are afraid to get out and go forward and do, amen, and God says, let the fearful go home, they're excused, it's going to be okay, and now he's got 10,000 men, they're marching, God says, hey Gideon, you got too many with you. I do? Yeah, you got 10,000, that's more than you need, because what's going to happen is, they're going to say, look what we did. So, take them to water. Let me divide them there. And they run to the water, and they must be very thirsty because bunches of men just jumped down on their hands and knees and just started getting that water right out of, getting that water right out of the lake or right out of the streams. But other men would take their hands and cup it and bring it up and then begin to lap it like a dog. 300 men lapped it like a dog. And he said, those that have their head up, those that are lapping it out of their hands like a dog, that's the men I'm going to use. The other 9,700, cut them loose. They've not done anything wrong. I just don't need them in this battle. I just need you, Gideon, and these 300 men. And now there are 300 men with Gideon getting ready to go fight more than 150,000 men. And we pick up the story in verse 9. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Pirah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. And afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Pirah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. Their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay alone. What a dream. He's dreamed that a cake of barley bread, a muffin, rolled down a hill. Well, maybe he was hungry, Preacher Darren. I don't know, but God gave him a dream. And this muffin tumbled down the hill and it hit a tent. Now you'd think that a tent wouldn't fall when it's hit by a muffin. But the tent fell down and collapsed. And the Bible says, his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. This man hears about this dream, this muffin, this barley muffin, hits a tent, knocks it down, and his buddy, his fellow, says, that's got to be Gideon for sure. You see, a muffin cannot knock down a tent unless whoever throwed it pretty hard. You see, it's not the muffin that knocked down the tent. It's the power that's behind the muffin that knocked down the tent. And that power is the Lord God of all glory. In the Bible, in verse 15, it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. Now you and I know what happened. That from that point, Gideon is encouraged. He took those 300 men and God accomplished a great victory and defeated the Midianites. God did a great work. But it's not Gideon that I'm interested in from this text. The Lord wants us to look at his servant, Pirah, found in verses 10 and 11. When I studied this chapter, Gideon is mentioned 13 times in this chapter. His servant, Pirah, is mentioned twice. Gideon is mentioned 40 times in all the scripture, even in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith chapter. Pirah is only mentioned 2 times in all of scripture. You would read this chapter and you would not consider the servant Pirah to be the hero or the main character of the chapter. You see the victory that God gave to Gideon, and Gideon is the hero. Gideon is the one in the Hall of Faith. Yet Gideon could not accomplish this great victory without Pirah being present by his side. Will you hear me this morning? Everybody hear me close. If you're here today and you are not a preacher, you are not a man of God, you are not a missionary, I want you to stand to your feet. Everybody that's not, stand to your feet. Everybody that's not, stand. You can sit back down, Preacher Darren. I don't have time to introduce all of y'all. I wish I could. Preacher, what are you trying to get at? I'm trying to say that Pura was a servant to the man of God. And God used Pura to accomplish a great victory and a great work for the power of God. Verse 10, the Bible says, but if thou fear to go down. There's something about Gideon. When we first met Gideon, he was threshing wheat, hiding by the wine press from the enemy. And the angel of the Lord showed up and said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. When you see Gideon, that doesn't look very courageous. He looks anything else other than a valiant man, a mighty man of valor. Yet the Lord saw him as such. And Gideon in his life often has battles with fear. I don't know about you, but there's times, preachers, you might as well go ahead and get ready to say amen to me this morning, or with me this morning. There are times that as men of God, we get very afraid. There's been times that I was like, I don't know, Lord, we're getting ready to step out and knock out the wall of this church and try to build on and build bigger, and we got to bar. Lord, I don't know. And God's used some Puras in my life to pray for me, to encourage me, to give me some words of counsel and some words of advice, some words of encouragement along life's weary way. Listen, it may be today that you're fearful, you're afraid, you're anxious, you're nervous, you're apprehensive. But Pura is needed for this excursion for Gideon to obtain the victory. I'm thinking about the man of God, D.L. Moody, one of the greatest preachers. He's called the Prince of Preachers, one of the greatest preachers that's ever preached. I've got his picture in my study even right now. And D.L. Moody, he had such problem with fear and nerves and apprehension and depression came on it that he didn't even show up for church at the Metropolitan Tabernacle. And his men would go over and help him to get ready and carry him to the house of God and set him and get him up to preach. He was so fearful and nervous, he didn't want to have to stand. Yet he had some peers that made sure that he got to the house of God just to preach. Once Pura and Gideon are in place, they hear about the dream and the interpretation thereof, and it gave Gideon courage and confidence to go forward. Pura is not the one calling the shots. Pura is not the one that's in charge, but he is involved in the battle. Hebrews chapter number 11, that great hall of faith. I just want to read this to you. Maybe Pura is mentioned there, and I just didn't see it. The Bible says, and others who have trial of cruel mockings, others who wax valiant in fight, others who subdued kingdoms. Maybe Pura is one of those others that promoted courage and confidence in Gideon's life. Maybe Pura is one of those people who wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ glorified. I'm trying to exhort the brethren this morning. Number one, when I think about Pura, I want to see the expression of support. Now, in this story, there's only one Pura in the text. But in the scheme of things, there are many, many Puras. Case in point, are you looking at me? This morning, there is one preacher preaching. And there are more in the congregation than there are preaching this morning. There are more Puras in this room this morning than there are anything else. May I say there are more Puras than there are preachers. I had y'all stand. I had the men of God stand earlier. I had y'all stand. Can I get a witness? There are more Puras than there are preachers. There are more promoters than there are preachers. There are more supporters than there are sermons. There are more encouragers of the exposition than there are expositors. Thank God this morning for some people that are sitting here nodding their head, smiling at me, saying amen, throwing their hand up. And if you're not doing it, Lord God, you need to get to the place to where you go home in your closet and get to practicing, saying amen to the preacher, throwing your hand up to the things of God and nodding your head and saying, well, God be glorified. We need to get there in the house of God again, amen. there, listen, thank God this morning, all the purists that are here, you're not here to deliver a sermon, but you're here to hear one. You want to hear one. There are more givers than there are goers. What do you mean? There are more people who give towards missions and people to encourage the discouraged and people to support the weak than there are people that can actually go. There's a man by the name of Mr. Knight. And Mr. Knight, as he wanted to be a missionary. And he had in his church missionaries coming all the time. And his daddy and his mama would bring missionaries home with them from Africa. And one of them specifically that he met, he said, I'm going to be a missionary one day. I want to be a missionary. I want to be a missionary. He graduated college. He surrendered. He felt to the call. He went before the Methodist board and they reviewed him and said, no, we don't believe that you're the one God wants to send. He went back a second time. He said, please, I feel like I'm supposed to go there. They said a second time to him, no. Mr. Knight, 40 years later, is standing before the Methodist Mission Board and he says this. He says, 40 years ago, I felt like I was being called to the mission field twice to go and be sent, but y'all refused me and wouldn't let me go. And he said, I went home and he said, I bowed down at my house and I poured my heart out and said, God, they've broken my heart not letting me go. God, I'm pouring out my complaint. Lord, what on earth am I to do? God said, when you can't go, you can send someone to go in your place. You've got to learn to look for the yes in God's no. He said, for 40 years I dedicated myself. I had a job. I couldn't afford to support a missionary. But he said, I started working harder and dedicating myself at work. I got promotion after promotion. Finally, I was lifted up to be over that business. And then I went and bought another business and another business. And he said, today he laid a sum of money on the altar. And he said, and there's more where this come from in a bank account. He said, this money that God's given me is more than enough to support at least 10 missionaries for the rest of their lives to go forward and preach the gospel in Africa. Amen. Listen, there are more givers than there are goers. This morning, the choir got up. Did you see them? There's only two people saw the choir. They must have had their eyes asleep, Brother Tony. Did y'all see the choir up this morning? Put your hand up. Preacher, I saw the choir this morning. There, listen, there's more in the congregation than there are in the choir. Right? And in that choir, you heard some people. Miss Kim got up, and Adam and Shannon, and Miss Beverly. There are more in the choir than there are soloists. Amen? Hey, and you may be in the choir and say, I don't ever get asked to sing personally. Yet, God has allowed you to be a backdrop to lend your voice to encourage others that they may sing a solo. Maybe they sing the verse and you come in on the chorus. God has, you got to understand, don't be jealous. Don't get upset with each other. Be a pura. Be a pura. Be an encourager. Be an exhorter. Get behind one another. It is lending the expression of your support. Did you know there are more behind the scenes than there are those on stage? There is more in the back than there are in the front. There are more hidden than there are out heralding this morning. Be, I'm daring you, I'm exhorting you, be a pura. You'll be involved in the victory and involved in the battle. Number two, when I see pura, I see the exertion of service. Now look with me. These puras, they are usable greatly in the hands of God. Now look with me in verse number 10. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with pura thy servant. Evidently, pura is not afraid. Preacher Darren, what do you mean he's not afraid? Well, do you remember in the story, God told Gideon, you got 32,000 men. Yes, I do. Send the fearful home. 22,000 left. Pura still there. He cut him again. 9,700 went home. Pura is still there. Let me say, Pura is daring. He's not afraid. God is looking for somebody who's willing to accept risk, willing to accept challenge, willing to step out on faith from where they presently are and willing to go forward. They are daring. thank God for some people that comprised the Bethel Baptist Church that years ago were willing to step out on faith, that even this morning you're willing not to stay at the house but to accept the risk and step out on faith and say, I'm going to continue serving God faithfully. I'm going to get involved in the battle. I'm going to get involved in what the church is doing and what God wants to do. Thank God for some pure odds that are daring. I want to say they are doing. Verse 10 again. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Pirah, thy servant, down to the host. He is a doing man. You know what he's doing? He's not sitting around waiting on somebody else to do it. Pirah is already involved. He is a man of service. He is a doing man. He is somebody who will do something, who wants to do something. He is a busy man. You know, let me tell you something. The devil calls men when they're idle. God calls men when they're busy. Amen. Well, I got so much on my plate, I don't know what else I'm going to do. You ought to praise God for it. That means God's getting you ready for service. He wants you to be a doing man. He wants you to be a dependable man. Look at the verse 10 again. Look what it does not say. It does not say, take Pura with thee. God did not say, Gideon, take Pura with you. Read it again. It's not what it says. If thou fear to go down, go thou with Pura, thy servant to the host. Look at verse 11, second sentence. Then went he down with Pirah, his servant. Gideon, the man of God, who has fear and anxiety, I've already proven that, has his reservations about going himself down there to the camp of the Midianites and hiding out and listening to what they've got to say. He has his reservations. But according to what I just read, Pirah was going anyway. Look at it. Read it again. Read it with that thought. Pirah's going whether Gideon goes or not. Pirah is going down there because evidently the Lord has already instructed him. Let me just say this. God is wanting someone to be faithful and someone to be loyal whether anybody else is or not. Judas made the decision, I'm going to be faithful to my God, no matter what everybody else wants to do. I'm going to be faithful if the preachers don't want to go. I'm going to go. I'm going to get involved with the battle. I'm going to be faithful no matter if the deacons don't go, if the choir leader don't go, if the choir don't go, if the Sunday school don't go, if the water group don't go, if the school don't go, if vacation Bible school don't go. I'm going to go if the congregation don't want to go. I'm going to go because God's instructed me to go. He is a dependable man. You see, he is exerting his service. Look, both times, Pura's name is mentioned in the Bible. It's spoken about him being a servant. I don't want to be a servant. Then fine, you won't be used. God's looking for servants that are willing to be used. You realize when God called Joshua to be the leader over Israel? You know what Joshua was when God called him? Joshua was a servant to the man of God. He was a servant to God's servant. You want to be used of God? Be a servant to God's servant. And God will use you. Be a dependable man. Be a doing man. Be a daring man. I'm exhorting you, brethren, be a Pirah. Number three, and I'll be done. There is the extension of strength. In verse 11, God is speaking to Gideon. He's already told him in verse 10, if you're afraid to go down, go with Pirah. He's going anyway. Verse 11, thou shalt hear what they say. Oh, preacher, I read what they said. I heard what they said. They talked about me on Facebook. Good. They talked about me on Instagram and TikTok. They made videos about me. Good. Let them lie on you. Honey, I got so many people lying on me. You know why they want to lie on me? They want to stop the work of God. They lied on Nehemiah too, and they said, let's have a meeting, let's discuss it. Nehemiah said, oh no, I'm not coming down to you. God's called me to do a great work, and I'm staying up here for the cause of Christ. I'm not getting involved in your scheming and in your lying and all your rumor mill stuff. I'm going to dedicate myself to preach holy, infallible, inerrant word of God. Percy Ray said, he said, preacher, when they lie on you, rejoice because it's not the truth. I don't want you telling the truth on me. That might hurt pretty bad. But when they lie on you, rejoice because you're being hated for Jesus' name's sake. So I'm talking about the extension of strength. He said, you're going to hear what they say, and afterward shall thy hands be strengthened to go down to the host. Puros are an extension of the strength of God. What do you mean, Preacher Darren? Well, they're a supplement. Let me say this. The name pura, it means foliage, leafy, green, fruitful, bow, beautiful. When God sees you today, congregation, he sees you as beautiful. He sees you as usable, willing to supplement the cause of Christ and the work of God. God is evidently using your life to be an encouragement and to accomplish his victory in this community. Dare to be a pura. He is definitely sent from God. You know what God does? God oftentimes sends you human help. When they're up there roofing, God didn't just get up there. God could have laid that roof on by himself. But oftentimes, God uses human help to get involved. God could turn supernaturally what's going on to these flood victims and could fix it just like that. But God wants to get you involved in what needs to be done in another community. And I've been preaching in that area for 24 years. Every third Sunday in August, I preached over there up until this very year. And I want to tell you something. God is sending you to do a work. Pura is an individual. I want to say today, will you look at me and will you hear what I'm going to tell you? God, you can't explain it, but God divinely, supernaturally ordered it to cause you to leave wherever you were, and he sent you here. He sent you here to be a help to me, to be a help to this community, to be a help to this church. God has a work. There are souls that hang in the balance. There are people that need to be encouraged. There are weak people that need to be supported. And God took you from where you were and said, I'm going to send you right over there because I need what I've given you to be supplied to that community down there at Spruce Pine. And you may sit here and fight the devil, and the devil questions your salvation, and he's worried you absolutely to death. Oh, what am I doing here? But I'm telling you, honey, your amens, your prayers, your giving, your support has been a pura of the 300 men that God sent to Gideon to accomplish a great work. And you may think you're small. You may think you're insignificant. Hey, pura in that text is not very noted, but he is very needed. God needs you involved in this church. God needs you involved in the work of God that God is accomplishing before our very midst. God has sent you to this place. Don't you question it. I did not get up this morning and say, well, I don't know. Am I really supposed to stay at Bethel today? I got to figure out, should I just get up, go ahead and leave today? Should I just go? I'm a little tired. I think I'm just going to lay out. I think I'm just going to stay home. I'm going to watch it online and take me a little nap today. Oh, that's good, preacher. Amen. This is not time to take a nap. God has sent you, and God wants to involve you in the battle.
do what he's called you to do, Pura. I'm trying to exhort you. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to incite you to do that which God has called you to do. I feel like I'm just going to bust from the inside. I just want you to know I love you, but God loves you more. I need you, but God wants you more to work for the glory of God. Pura is standing. What do you mean he's standing? He's standing with the man of God. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 46, we thought Joseph was dead. But Joseph was very much alive. And word came back to his daddy that Joseph is alive. And Jacob is preparing himself to go see his son. But all of a sudden he becomes reluctant. I don't want to leave the comforts of what I know to be my home. I don't want to be uprooted. I mean, I know my son's alive. That's great. I'll go see him. I'll go see him and maybe I'll come back to the house and die. God appeared to him. God said, Jacob, fear not to go down to Egypt, for I will be with thee. Aren't you glad this morning he's always with you? When you go down to Egypt or when you're going up to Jerusalem, God is always with you. But in this text, God didn't appear to Gideon and say, hey, Gideon, go on down there and fight the battle. I'll be with you. God didn't say that. What God did say was, you go with Pura. You go down with Pura, thy servant. You see, Pura, he is used by God to stand in his stead. I'm looking at some people today. God has divinely sent you and ordered you to be at Bethel because he says, I want you to go down there and I want you to stand in my stead with the man of God, with that church down there, with the work of God. God wants you to stand. Where are we at, church? We need to be standing for the cause of Christ. Oh, my. There's one time, as a little boy, his daddy took him and prayed with him and put him to bed, shut the door, and daddy walked down the hall and he heard this little boy scream, Daddy, Daddy, come here. His daddy turned around, he opened the door and said, what is it, son? He said, Daddy, I'm afraid. I'm scared of the darkness. I'm worried about the critters and the monsters that might be under my bed and in that closet in this room. He said, son, you know there ain't no critters. There ain't no monsters. Ain't nothing under your bed, just air. There ain't nothing in your closet, just toys and clothes. He said, and you know the Lord's going to be with you. You know that. He said, yes, Daddy, you're right. I know the Lord's with me, but sometimes I need someone with skin on them.
Yes, sir. That's right.
I know the Lord is with us at Bethel. He's proved that many times, but God has sent you with some skin on you to stand in his stead, to encourage the discouraged, to support the weak, to get behind some things and try to be a blessing to others. I don't have time to preach all this, but there's been times when we were afraid. There's been times when we were apprehensive. There's been times when we would not go forward, but God sent us a Pura, and Pura stood with us, and Pura prayed for us, and Pura supported us, and Pura spoke to us, and he encouraged us, and Pura texted us, and Pura has been a blessing in our lives. I could go all through the New Testament. Paul often spoke of the terms fellowship. Listen to this. In Colossians chapter 1, he called Epaphras his fellow servant. In Colossians chapter 4, he called Tychicus his fellow servant. In Philemon chapter 1, he called him his fellow laborer. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he called Titus his fellow helper. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 11, he called Justus his fellow worker. Hey, I've been sent here today to exhort you. The Bible says, but we. The pronoun is we. Who is we? It's not just his mission team. Who is the author of the Word of God? It is the Holy Spirit, as he's led by God the Father and God the Son. We are trying to exhort you and encourage you. Continue doing the right thing. Get involved in the work of God. Get involved in the battle. Glorify God in the work. This is not about what's convenient to you. I'm telling you, we do it. It's not about what's convenient. It's about dedicating yourself wholly to do what God calls you to do. You stand to your feet this morning. Miss Beverly, if you'd come to the piano, I'm trying to exhort you. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to incite you. Maybe there's somebody here and say, you know what, Preacher Darren? I want to get involved in the battle. I want to be involved in the cause of Christ, in the work of God. And I don't exactly know what all that entails, but I'm willing to say, Lord, I'm going to support my local church. I'm going to support the cause of Christ. I'm going to stand. Help me to be faithful. Help me to be loyal to what you've called me to be and called me to do. Help me, God, to do it with all of my ability. Maybe there's somebody today you need to exhort. Maybe there's somebody today you need to encourage. Maybe you know a family member today that's just about ready to throw in the towel. They're just about ready to quit, and they're just about ready to give up. And maybe your words, Pura, maybe your text, maybe a good word, a good prayer, maybe this morning come this altar and call out their name will change their attitude, what's going on in their life. Father, this morning, I thank you for the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God. I thank you for this 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren. God help us, Lord, to exhort, to encourage, to incite, to unify. God, I'm praying this morning, God, that you'd do a work. God, you'd do it in our hearts. You'd do it in our lives. Help us, God, to be dedicated wholly to the service of God. Lord, I pray for this church. God, there are many purons that consist this church. God, I thank you for it, Lord. And each and every one, God, that comprise it. Lord, I ask your blessing upon them. Give them an ability, God. Give them that calling, Lord. Give them to the empowerment, Lord. God, as you have equipped them to serve. Lord, I pray, God, you'd help them. No matter what the circumstances, no matter the difficulties of the battle, no matter the anxiety or the fear, let Pura be known. Let Pura say, I'm going down there. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to go Sunday night. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to get in choir practice. I'm going to be faithful trying to help and work and give to other churches and other schools. Help me, God, to work and glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I love you. I thank you, God, for what you're doing in this church and in this community. And may the Lord God be glorified, I pray. Touch the lost. Save them before it's everlasting too late. Encourage those that are discouraged. God, use our words, our testimony, our standing, God, to be a help and lighten the load, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.